How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hello, everyone. Hello. Susie, you finally decorated that room.
Well, it's blue.
I love it.
Aberdee. So you can see behind me, I've got a Magda Archer picture up. Oh, do you know Magda Archer?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, she is a brilliant artist who also happens to be married to Harry Hill, but she's very much a woman in her own right. I'm not sort of, you know, telling someone who they are by their name. But you remember that time that I went to Harry Hill's house and he gave me an Easter egg? Listeners of the show will, of course, remember that.
Of course.
Or offered me an Easter egg, at least. I met her, but I was already a big fan of her art, so...
Oh, how lovely. So they gave you that?
No, I had already bought it.
Oh, how lovely.
But, you know, maybe I should tap her up for something.
Tap her up. I say, get all the freebies you can.
I'm not going to.
Well, it goes lovely in that on that blue wall.
Well, you see, I took it to Baker Street Framers, which is in Yeah, exactly. Took it to there. Guy called Doug did it for me. Really nice job, actually. Went for a pink frame.
I love that, actually. Well done, Doug. How much was that to get framed, may I ask?
I think it was less than £50.
Really? Well, I think that's okay.
I think that's fine.
It's a proper bit of work, isn't it?
It is a proper bit of work. But they're ever so busy in Baker Street, Tom. It's about a 3-week wait at the minute.
To get your things framed?
Yeah, he said everyone's just having them framed. Is it all right?
Ooh.
And I got him to frame one of my posters. Now, is that arrogant, do you think, to have one of your own posters up in your house?
No, I was thinking how lovely it looks. It's a really stylish poster.
I don't know if it means I'm a prick.
No,
I think if you think
have
okay.
Like, I think if you
Seven.
Have like A1 versions of every show you've ever done going up the stairs, it can be a little bit imposing. But
okay. Alice, ring Baker Street. Tell them to not frame all those pictures.
Lovely door handle. Is that new?
Oh, Tom, thank you for noticing. We've changed all the door handles.
Well, how difficult was that? Because I'm thinking about doing that because I've got quite sort of sparkly ones on my door handles.
You do have really sparkly ones. It's the sort of thing that you might find in, I don't know, Liza Minnelli's and David Guest's house?
Yeah, definitely they would have it, I think. Yeah, definitely. Or like Mariah Carey, I think. Probably
yes.
Diamonds rather than.
How much do you reckon she makes every Christmas?
Well, I think.
You have to guess.
I think, I don't know, probably $1 million.
Yeah.
Maybe
just
more.
From that one song, maybe more. Yeah, she probably gets quite a lot to go and do a residency somewhere, wouldn't she?
Oh, you
to
know.
To do a Christmas week.
Oh, can you imagine getting her to open your lights? Open your grotto?
How's your week been, love?
Well, okay, actually. Lovely couple of shows down your way, Worthing, Bexhill.
Yes, of course, my wife came along, loved it, said it was fantastic.
Of course, it was lovely to have them there. She was there with the man who's just written my will.
Yes, and now we're getting a will.
Yeah.
Where there's a will, there's a death.
Where there's a will, there's a gay. And they are very, he's a very nice guy. Never met him before. Just spoke to him on the phone. So he was there. It was quite a party. Alice's dad, stepmom, and the man who wrote my will, his wife.
And the girls from Virgin.
And Polly from Virgin Radio and her mum. And
I mean, what a party.
And David been supporting me. So it was a real party in the interval, yeah.
Real party atmosphere. At the Delaware?
At the, actually, that was at the Worthing.
Oh, of course, Hall. I'm so sorry.
Worthing.
You went to the Delaware, because that's the very Art Deco one, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful. Very beautiful. Bit of Art Deco staircase. Lovely.
Love all that.
Gotta love it. They're doing it up, though. But I did go to the shop, nice gift shop in there, which I enjoy a nice
They've got a gift shop in the theatre?
In the foyer.
What sort of things do they sell? Could you get a large rubber?
You can get a large rubber, I think. You can get a nice selection of gift cards. You can get wooden postcards, which seem to be all the rage.
Wooden, you say?
Yeah, I think it's something about the environment or something like that. I don't pay attention.
Oh,
and
God.
Then, oh God, when
can we not have postcards anymore?
Can we not even enjoy a postcard anymore, for goodness sake? And, you know, some other bits like that. But it
lovely.
Was a, you like it in there. How about you? Did you, do you have a nice weekend and all?
I did. I was in Brighton and then I was in Norwich.
Oh.
Norwich Playhouse is so nice.
Nice, isn't
it? Met so many like-minded friends afterwards, Tom.
Oh, really? In Norwich?
So many like-minded friends in Norwich. I would say it's a gay hub.
Wow, the East Anglian gay hub. We were looking for... Yes. We wondered where that where that call centre was based. Yeah. Oh, that's great, isn't it? Did you have time to go out on the town afterwards or were you straight back?
Straight back. I tell you what, Brighton to Norwich, I would say it's too far for a round trip.
I would
a day.
Say that's too far.
It's ever so far. Luckily, Dinesh was driving.
Oh, thank God. I imagine thank that's God, about 4 hours each way.
I should say so, yeah.
That's too much, hun.
It's far too much, hun. It's far too much.
Oh, bless you.
And then I had a strange experience because I was on Woman's Hour on Friday.
Oh, Susie Klang.
Klang. I know. I was just talking about being a mum on the road. That was sort of the vibe. With Anita Rani, who I love.
Oh,
she's
yeah,
so nice. She's great. Really good broadcaster as well. And I mentioned, I was like, oh, I was a queer mum. And then I had this like really bizarre experience with TERFs on my Twitter. I mean, I didn't look at it because I never do.
Oh, God.
But I said to Alice, oh, I bet they'll come out in force because I mentioned... Because I sort of gave the gambits of LGBTQIA+, you know, said that. And of course, had them coming out for me and saying, Susie, when will you realise you are a lesbian? You are not a queer woman. A queer woman doesn't exist. Blah, 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 blah. And you just think,
really?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
It was so angry. But you think, gosh, what is... And then someone shared a screen grab that was from, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, must be now. No, maybe not as much as that, maybe 4 years ago, of me saying... I'm really disappointed about what J.K. Rowling has said. I really hope that something like, let's all just try and be kind to each other. And, you know, I don't know, I guess it was in lockdown when we were all tweeting about everything. But someone must have had this screen grab saved on their phone for like the moment that I misstepped so that they could shout at me. It was so bizarre. I thought, my God, you must have so much time on your hands.
Yeah.
You must have so much time on your hands.
Oh, God, it's like a little... Warren, isn't it, of like miserable people.
Don't, yeah.
But I think as well, as I often say with social media, a minority of opinions can often seem very loud.
Yes.
Because it's online and balanced people don't tend to go, I've got an opinion, I've got to share it.
Mm.
So I don't, you know, I don't really
Yeah, me neither.
I don't feel, if I feel strongly about something.
Yes, precisely, but not
I don't
just
tend
the idea
to go,
that someone was like, I'm going to listen to what she says on Woman's Hour. And then if she mentions the tea, I'm going to share this. You're like, oh, babe, what a weird hill to waste your life on.
Yeah. But some people love that sort of thing.
Now, how do you feel about critics, Tom? Because I'm not, I don't know. I don't know if I've been reviewed since I've been on tour.
I pay them no heed. But maybe that's arrogant or wrong or foolish.
No, I similarly... try not to pay them any heed. Alice won't let me read the reviews anymore because I think it drives me mad.
Well, I realised in Edinburgh that there's this kind of sense of like, at the festival that you're like, oh, we've got to try and, you know, please the audience. You see all these people like selling out all the time and then you see people going like posting their reviews and then you see people like being nominated. And it seemed like all these things went hand in hand. And I, actually, it was through my often quite direct speaking friend, Rob Beckett, who was like, who cares about that? All you've got to do, your job is to make people laugh. And Flo said the same thing. It's like you want people to leave a show laughing.
Yes.
You don't, there's nothing else to worry about.
Totally.
So that's all you've got to do.
Yes. No, I totally agree.
Because I think as well, like reviewers, it's like, well, maybe they do have an insight, but for me, it's not relevant for me. It's none of, as RuPaul would say, it's none of my goddamn business.
Well, the thing that I always think is like, I'm on stage doing my dream, which is making loads of people laugh all at the same time.
Yeah.
Was it your dream to write 100-word reviews? Clearly you want to be a writer. No one like grows up going, I want to be a critic.
Critic, for me, that's my dream. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, you're a writer that hasn't got a novel.
Yeah. Like, yeah, kind of. I mean.
But yeah, I probably shouldn't say that, should I? But I've just thought about it because I thought, oh, I wonder if any critics have been in. And then I thought, you know what? The tour's sold out. People are loving it.
Yeah, that's all you need to worry about.
I think it's the funniest show I've ever done. There's most laughs in it than any other show I've done, I think. But it's funny, isn't it? Those voices, they creep in. They creep in.
Well, I think we talked about it on here before, but like...
I think we probably have. No. Over the last 6 years.
Oh, they're on that again. No, but it's true. But I think as well, like, it's funny how we gravitate towards it. Like one negative remark, one negative line in a review, one negative, you know, is the thing that we cling on to. Why is that? Is that because of an imposter syndrome that we're kind of looking to, you know, we're kind of going, well,
confirm.
Confirm. Yeah. I knew it. See, I told you I was rubbish. Yeah. And actually, I think our job is to fight that a lot of the time, isn't it?
It's totally.
So don't you worry, you just enjoy the tour. That's all.
Yes, that's what I'm doing. That is what I'm doing. I can't write it for a critic. I've got to write for my audience. You can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so I'm not sure how many people that are critics have lives like mine.
And also who's going through like the papers stuff going on? Is it, what should we do this weekend? Oh well, I was gonna go and see that comedy show, but the review. I think if I want to go and see it, it's like films and stuff. If I want to go and see it, I'll go and see it and I'll probably enjoy
it. Totally.
Don't really pay attention to what like
no,
somebody
I totally
in the
agree.
Newspaper says. So what can I say, you know?
I love what you say. I love what you say. I am having such nice tour shows. Now, Tom, I need to tell you something that happened at my tour show in Brighton.
Oh, I'd like to know.
Now, do you remember I told you Stephen Canning had 2 spare tickets? He offered them free to a like-minded friend if they wanted to go along and they could sit together and maybe have a drink together. So nice. So Stephen went and has then got in touch. He said, hello, Susie, and Uncle Pom Pom. I don't know if you know that, but that's what I call you on stage in my tour.
Oh, yes, I think I did know that. Uncle Pom Pom, yes. Lovely.
He said some very nice things about the show and then has made friends with Sam and Ben, who had the spare tickets. But here's the thing. He gave me a present, Tom. He brought a present, and it was an egg slicer.
Wow.
Now, do you remember the conversation we had on here when I said...
Yes, of course. That's such an important part of any kitchen.
As soon as I have an egg slicer...
My home is complete.
I feel like I made it.
Yeah.
An egg slicer. Can you imagine more joy?
Oh, my goodness. So you're doing an egg salad at the weekend?
Oh, Tom, well, I'm going to make one today for my lunch.
Oh, lovely. That's going to be lovely.
That's going to be real good, isn't it?
Egg salad as well. It can look very, very elegant, I think, in a sort of 1960s way.
I was about to say, in 60s, 70s, sure.
Fanny Craddock sort of way, yeah.
Don't call me that. Should we have some correspondence?
I would love that. I would love that.
Now that I've found out the email address. Okay. Hello, Susie and Tom. I just want to say a quick hello and thank you to Tom for coming to Chatham on Thursday.
Oh.
My husband and I had a fab time and thought you were brilliant, Tom. Also, we very much enjoyed your opening act too. I was tempted to heckle with a well-timed clang, but I lost my nerve, sadly, too British and not wanting to annoy anyone.
Oh.
I also want to say it's such a shame the last time you were in Chatham together, it was such a pants audience. If the pod came to Chatham or somewhere close, we'd definitely come. Take care. Blah, 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 blah.
I think there's quite a queer scene there as well now.
There's a queer scene in Chatham?
Yes, they're everywhere.
Not those people that had a fight at Tom Beckett's show.
Rob Beckett's show.
Rob! Tom Beckett?
St. Thomas of Becket, I think, was the Archbishop of Canterbury. Who was killed by Henry the Third?
Oh, Tom.
Someone like that. Or Edward something. Thomas a Becket, that was. But that, no, well, I don't know. I mean, I think they have the ship in. I think it's an old queer scene as well because it's the dockyards, of course, the sailors, they loved it, didn't they?
Yes, so, they did.
The ship
in. Well, they loved gay men.
The gays love a sailor. Everybody knows.
That's the truth. That's the truth of it.
It was a nice time. I loved, fabulous time in Chatham, actually. Fabulous time. Yeah.
So nice. Did you do 2 nights there?
No, just
just
one. But I'm going to be in Canterbury as well, so I suppose that's only up the road.
It is only up the road, isn't it?
Are you going to Chatham?
No, I'm not going to Chatham. Should I? Is it well nice?
You'd like it, Suze. Oh, I think you would like it. Yeah, for sure. I liked it a lot.
Sure, I'll go. If there's an audience for me in Chatham,
go there right now.
I'm leaving.
Get in the car. Head on down. What are you waiting for?
Should we share another listener email?
Yes, I'd love that.
Hello, you lovely like-minded friends. I'm a newish listener, but I've known about you both for years.
Oh.
Maybe that's why I started listening from episode 1 after finding myself in dire need for a funny podcast after binge listening my way all the way through My Dad Wrote a Porno and not knowing what to listen to next.
Oh.
I hope it's okay to mention another podcast. so if not.
You don't mind?
Absolutely not.
We don't mind.
Don't mind it.
We don't mind it.
They're very nice, the people from Madame Britpourno.
They are, aren't they?
They're nice. Anyway, I feel like I found my perfect podcast and like-minded friends, a fabulous combo of queer and comedy. And I've been gobbling up episodes as fast as I can ever since. I started with the early episodes in 2006 until one day I accidentally opened the latest one and found myself with a not-so-Sophie's choice.
Oh.
Gay people are so funny. Stick with the legacy content or stay current, needless to say, after a few listens of the current stuff. Oh my God, Susie, you now live in Brighton. Me too, yay. I'm now bouncing between one episode and the last episode. God, it must be like you and I are having sort of a mental breakdown.
It must be quite the roller coaster. It must be. Played at speed, especially if you play at speed.
Oh, who is that person? Do you remember that person that got in touch that was like, I love the podcast, but you both speak so quickly. And then they got in touch again and were like, so sorry, I had it on double speed.
As if we could speak like that as well.
I can't tell you how much joy this podcast gives me. I've started dropping not so subtle hints to the husband about wanting Tom's new book. I love the first one. And I've got tickets to see Susie in Comedia in Brighton.
Oh.
It's my birthday next month, in case you wanted to say hi. This was actually a couple of months
birthday.
Ago, so happy birthday.
Oh, sorry, last month.
And yeah, I'm so excited to experience a live show soon. I've even got my husband saying bye.
Oh, that's nice.
Despite him not really being sure where it's from. Working on introducing clang to our couple vocabulary next.
Oh.
Sending you both some like-minded gay hugs from Kemp Town and Brighton. Thanks for the laughs, past, present, and future. If you read this out, it would make my day.
Oh, that's happy from Jared. Birthday, Jared. Oh, living the dream in Kemp Town in Brighton. Would you live down there? Did you ever look at places in there, Suze? Along
we
that
did
way?
A bit, but I wanted to be close to a stage.
Yeah,
coming
you
home
aren't
late
close.
At night, you see.
Going across that old Steen. Is it old Steen or old Stein? I'm sure that's a source of great contention in Brighton.
I would say Steen, but I think most people would say Stein.
There's lovely bus stops, isn't it? There's lovely Art Deco bus shelters.
Tom, everything here is wonderful.
When
will you move down?
No.
And then Jared followed up with a very lovely email about coming along to my show last week, which I appreciate very much, Jared. But what that made me wonder, Tom, do you and Alf have any couple slang?
We do constantly at the moment saying Mr. Pamuk, which is very much Alf's thing, a quote from Downton Abbey.
Very
in
nice.
In the first couple of episodes, you may be familiar with Mr. Pamuk, who really has quite a epic storyline, but it's over within about two episodes. But that Mr. Pamuk, they go out hunting together and Mr. Pamuk. So we often say that, or, oh, Robert, referencing Cora from Downton Abbey.
But, it's very Downton Abbey themed, your relationship, isn't it?
At the moment, it's
you would both be great butlers.
Well, that's the thing. Like the other day we ran out of hot water and I was running a bar. So Alfie brought up boiling water from the kitchen in a saucepan up the stairs. And I said, you're like a lady's maid.
Yes. I've always thought that Alf was like a lady's maid.
Yeah. So we do have hopefully I do things for him as well.
Sure.
I don't want listeners to think that I insist on him being my butler, of course.
No, but I do think in another time you would have been great butlers and you probably have had a relationship.
Well, of course. Huge, huge series, a huge, huge epic storyline on Downton, actually.
What? Some gays?
Suze, I feel like you've never watched Downton Abbey.
I've never watched Downton Abbey.
Oh, please. You're going to love it.
Really? I feel like, haven't I missed the boat? Isn't it like, I've never watched that one about drugs in America.
No, it's different to that. The Wire, or do you mean Breaking Bad?
I mean both of them. I've never watched either. There's just so much to catch up on. It feels like, I've got the gist.
Yeah,
I know. The world's a terrible place.
Downton Abbey is soothing, I would say. Except the First World War one. That was unsoothing. But apart from that.
Sure. Okay, fine. I'll watch.
That's what I would say. It's very on you call the midwife vibes.
I know it's very cool the midwife, but you know, of course, I've got such an intense relationship with Trixie and the girls.
It's so intense for you.
I don't know if I've got enough room
for
more period drama in my life. I don't know.
Well, it's a few. Yeah. But, it's just there if you want a soothing watch. That's all I'd say.
Okay, fine. Should we have some more correspondence? This has ended up like a correspondence episode, but I like it.
No, we've done a bit of everything.
Hello there, dearies, in Tom's Mrs. Tina Turner voice. Do you want to give
hello
us that?
Hello there, dearies.
Thank you.
Hello there, dearies. Come in. We've got the fancy dress. There's a fancy dress for the children we've got to do. There's an Easter bonnet parade again.
Very good.
I feel like she's always knitting together some felt, isn't she, old Mrs. Tina Turner?
That sort of thing. Knitting together felt, maybe making a lemon cake, but she's put it in the oven slightly too long, so she's a bit harangued by that.
Oh, no, it's terrible. You won't have it. Oh, no, it's such a disaster.
And then also maybe dealing with sort of typhoid.
Always typhoid, isn't it, in your episode, in your mind?
In my mind, it's always typhoid. Mm. That's actually the new tattoo I'm getting, always typhoid.
Oh, my God, always typhoid. Always time for typhoid.
First time emailer, long time Kill the Midwife fan and LGBTQIA plus ally here.
Oh, hello.
Hello. I came across your Simply Fabulous pod around a year ago and started from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm now around 7 weeks behind, so I've caught up fairly quickly. My fucking goodness. Hell, that has been a slog.
That, I can't imagine what their life's
there
been
There are
like.
Hundreds of episodes.
They must feel like they're in a locked-in coma or something, yeah.
I came to love Tom during the early Mock the Week days.
Oh, my.
And I've admired Susie stand-up since Live at the Apollo. So I find you both had a 7-year-plus podcast. Oh, my God, is that how long we've been doing this?
Oh, good Lord.
This was a dream come true for me. I'm currently listening to an episode called In and Of Gay Culture.
Oh, my God. How many of those have we done? I think every time we come up with it, we're like, oh, God, it's a great idea.
I've most certainly of and have understood correctly despite being a boringly hetero cis lady. I'm told that I'm as camp as they come, darling. Susie has asked what the tiny pocket in the front of the jeans is for, and I had to simply write in.
Yes, what is this?
Apologies if someone has emailed sooner. No one has. Literally no one has emailed about this, and we've got hundreds of emails.
I think
emails.
Somebody did on Instagram message me, but I forgot.
Okay, that's brilliant. So, I learned a few years ago, it's a pocket watch pocket.
How do we not know that on this show?
Back in the olden days, 1890 to be exact, have Levi's been around since that long?
Oh, yeah. They were workwear, weren't they, in the...
Levi's introduced this small pocket where one could keep their watch to prevent it breaking during manual labour.
Of course, manual handling.
And the design has rather pointlessly stood the test of time.
Well, hang on, didn't say pointless.
I don't know that you would fit a pocket watch in there.
I feel like they've shrunk it a bit, haven't they?
Maybe, or...
And also, I wouldn't say that's the safest place for it.
Have you got a pocket watch?
I have somewhere, yes. Used to have one in the sixth form, of course.
Of course, it feels like the kind of thing, the kind of knick-knackeries you would have once thought. Yes, that's. I'm not going to wear one on my wrist.
No, straight for me. To the pocket. Well, I would say that in that place in your leg, it's not particularly well protected, is it?
I don't think so.
The crease of the hip.
How are you meant to wear them? Is there a chain attached to a waistcoat?
Probably, yeah.
Into the waistcoat pocket?
Yeah, back then, they might.
Is it jacket over the top?
I don't know. It doesn't really make sense, but nice to know. Oh, I don't
know.
I assumed it was for coins or something. But anyway.
Me too. But no, it's not. Susie, you recently hearted a comment I made on Tom's IG post about Marie Antoinette, which I believe I told you last week.
Oh,
I met the owner of her. I met her. You know that, don't you? I told you that.
Yes. I hope she looked exactly like she did in that picture. And she came
It was actually Marie Antoinette who came to the show.
Isn't that wonderful? When they come to the show, she was there.
It is. It made me feel very special.
She had to have several seats.
So, well, of course.
Set in a box, I imagine.
But, you know, I wanted to make it work for her.
Everybody's welcome.
And then Marianne carries on. She said some very nice things about my stand-up. I appreciate that muchly, but I can't read it out because it will make me cringe. Now, I lost my auntie mum in November. Whilst already 2 months into an especially low time and have been really struggling with my mood most days, getting out of bed was a gargantuan task, let alone leaving the house. I can't tell you how much your wonderful podcast has helped me feel like I'm sitting around a coffee table with you both, putting the world to rights and having a good old laugh. As many other listeners have shared, Tom, hearing you talk about your grief following the loss of your dad has been such a comfort. I particularly found this Mother's Day hard, even though, as you say, we tend to try and bolster ourselves to prepare for such occasions. So to you both, thank you so, 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 so much. Now, I simply must dash. Bye. Bye, 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 bye. Much love. Marianne, no Toinette.
That's wonderful. Oh, that's a lovely message. Also, I love the idea of a coffee morning. My mum was always having those.
Really?
Coffee morning.
Is that just sort of an excuse to bitch in the suburbs?
Yeah, over coffee.
Yeah, over coffee, why not?
So 11 o'clock, pop in at 11.
Oh, I can just imagine a 15-year-old Tom absolutely loving that sort of thing, bringing in biscuits, but like also just mainly being there to hear the goss.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of when I was a bit younger, I think, than that. I think it was more when I was sort of in my, but I was still very much keen to hear. It's often annoyingly when I was at school, but, you know, I'd come back from school and see the remnants. Mum had got out the nice plates, that sort of thing. A jammy dodger left. Swimming around a plate.
The sad old plate.
A crummy plate, yeah. But yeah, I love the idea of a coffee morning. Lovely. Love these little social occasions.
Oh, me too.
And also, I say this in, I should have mentioned this sooner, but yesterday, I think you remember meeting her, Susie. So, but I grew up next to two wonderful neighbours, Jean and Dennis.
Yes,
and, I was on, talking of other podcasts, I was once on Off Menu, I believe it's called.
Sadly, I don't think that podcast ever went anywhere.
Unfortunately, no one listened to it. But where I talked about the only time I bunked off school was when my next door neighbours, Jean and Dennis, who were both at that time in their 70s, I think, got me to bunk off school and took me to Calais for lunch, where I tried oysters for the first time. Mum and Dad were there as well. But sadly, we lost Jean very recently.
Yes.
And so we had the funeral yesterday. And Jean, for listeners of the podcast, to give you an idea, was very much a wonderful person who was a nurse and a midwife. And she had had a lot of loss in the Second World War, and she'd been injured in a bomb raid. And so she spent a lot of time in hospital, and that's what inspired her to be a nurse. And it was a very inspiring funeral, which sounds very strange, doesn't it, to say?
No, it doesn't. No, go on, tell me why.
Because she was always, Jean was always so upbeat. Like, she was always full of life. She never, like, she basically had this tragedy that happened where a lot of her family were killed in the bombing raid. Mm-hmm. And then she she was inspired by the nurses she met, and she became a nurse. And she was a nurse in, like, the 50s, so called the midwife times.
Yes.
And she was also a midwife, and then she was a health visitor, and so she'd seen a lot of things, you know, and she was kind of that classic sort of nurse type that was like, you know, you'd want to be with Jean. She'd just sort of like, how are you? Everything's fine, don't worry. No, very sort of direct, but in a very caring way.
Reassuring.
Very reassuring. Big part of the local church community, did a lot of quilting, was on lots of committees there, like very caring, very sort of...
A real community person.
A community person, and I thought...
Well, I'm pleased you mentioned her, because I think we should all try and be a bit more Jean.
Well, that's apparently their family slogan, is be more like Jean, BMLJ.
Oh, really? Well, I think it should be a like-minded friends slogan as well.
She was wonderful fun, and always had sort of a cheeky laugh. And in the funeral, we had a couple of hymns. The last one was, what was it? Oh, not called Lord of the Dance. But it was, anyway, we all got out of time with the backing track we were playing in the crematorium. And so it was like, it was sort of had like an instrumental between each verse, but it wasn't quite clear when the instrumental ended and then you went into the verse. And I always think, particularly at funerals, it's really important to sing up. I'm not a singer, but I think it's just important for the family, for everyone, just to sing out. Otherwise, it sounds really apologetic.
Well, I remember that became a big worry for you with your dad's funeral, didn't it? That was something that you put some of your, maybe it was misplaced, you know, grief and stress was maybe about how... I remember you saying to me a number of times, really go for it with the singing.
Oh, yes, I did.
Because I really want everyone to join in. I really want it to be a thing. So I think it was like me and Brie and Gaz being like, ha! Like,
yeah, well, oh, that's so good that you were like that. It was very much like that yesterday. So I was determined, but I was like, I don't know when we're supposed to be singing out here.
It funny? Did people laugh about that?
Yeah, and so people were laughing, and I could sort of imagine Jean laughing.
Nice.
So it was kind of a lovely moment, really. Yeah, really lovely.
Also, that breaks the tension, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's and there what was a you lot want of at a funeral.
Yeah, it was really kind of, and it, the spirit of it was, she was very, like, she had this slogan that she always said, like, when it's raining, don't complain about the rain, but just enjoy playing in the puddles. And I thought that was a nice sentiment. And she was sort of very much like, there was a poem that was read that was like, don't fight away the memories of me or sad thoughts you might have. Allow them to come in, but also allow that to move you forward in your life. Don't be like, don't push them away as like, oh, that's sadness. I don't want that in my head. Sort of enjoy the memories to come, enjoy having the memories. Because she was very like full of life, like absolutely until basically the end, you know, she was so full of life and doing things. And gosh, they were always entertaining and going on trips and enjoying things. And she was very particular about table settings, which of course
something that you two could connect over.
And as a kid, when I was a very eccentric kid, she would always be, she would never talk to me as a child. She'd always talk to me as an adult. Like, what do you think about that? And we'd always sort of discuss, you know, whatever the issue was or the subject was. She'd just say, but what about this? And she'd always like throw in whatever the other side of the argument was.
Yes.
So I got a very balanced understanding of things. And also, and I try and do this when any children come around to the house, is she'd always give me a job. So it's like, you're in charge of the crisps, Tom.
Yes. Oh, they love a job.
They love a job. Kids, when they come to my house, they always get given a job to do. Sometimes it's
I thought it was a bit out of order that you made the baby go up the chimney. But, you know, I get it.
Look,
she understands.
She's the perfect age.
Size.
I needed it clean.
Shimmy her up. No, but that's a really lovely point to end the podcast on this week. Let's all be more Jean.
Be more like Jean, if you like, you guys. So, yeah, she was really wonderful. And it was a really uplifting funeral, strangely, really.
But I think they
lots of quilting and crafting. That's nice. Yeah, they can be actually, can't they? Yeah.
I think it's important that they are.
Yeah, yes, indeed. So take that on your way.
Well, listen, where are you off to this week on your tour?
Well, this week I'm in the Southwest, don't I, darling?
Have a nice time.
I didn't do it very good. I think I did more of a Norwich accent then when I did it. But I'm going to Falmouth and Barnstable and Redruth and Yeovil.
Yes, of course.
Down there for a few days, of course.
Please well, you have a lovely time.
But yes, thank you, dear. Where are you off to?
Well, I'm at the Soho Theatre all week.
Oh, that's lovely. Of course, that's this week. Gosh, in my mind, I was like, that's not for another couple of weeks.
No, Tom, the time, it flies.
It flies by.
It really does.
It absolutely flies by.
So I'm doing that. So, do you know what? And it's not until 9:30. So today I've just told myself I'm allowed to have a mooch about today.
Every day, you're working.
Yeah, got to chill.
How lovely! Go for a nice walk.
Yeah, all those things. Make some lunch. I'm going to make myself that nice egg salad sandwich.
Hello, yes.
So nice. What a treat!
Buy a nice little plant or something. A little springtime plant.
Do you know what? Thanks for saying that, Tom. I think I will.
Treat yourself. That's what I say.
Okay, well, listen, we'll see you next week. If you want to get in touch, you always can. The email is hello@likemindedfriendspod.com. And we're on the socials, but you know, no pressure.
No pressure, as ever with this. Listen if you like. Don't worry. It's no big deal.
Just if you enjoy it, listen. If not, if you're struggling through it, turn it off.
I think sometimes we're the final vestige of just like, you know, no, don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
Everyone else is
if
so
you hate
stressed.
It, unsubscribe. Like,
oh, unsubscribe, you know, give yourself a
don't
break.
Don't like it. Don't rate it.
Don't rate it. That's all we say.
Don't rate
it. Don't
review.
Like it. Shut up.
No wonder we don't make a penny off this.
Yes. Barely functioning. But, you know, we're still here.
We're still here. We always will be.
We're not, you know, we're not for everyone. We're not for anyone, really.
No, that's the thing.
That's
but I think about 10 people that
problem.
Really love it.
But those 10, thank you so much.
Gosh, we love
you
guys.
So much. We appreciate it. And you're here for us.
We'll do a coffee morning. Thank you so much.
Let's do a coffee morning. Yeah, probably wouldn't be enough
people. Okay, we'll see you next week, probably.
Okay, we'll probably see you next week. Okay, bye, everyone. Take care. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.